Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And as always, thank you for joining us, being a part of this hour-long, dive into everything that's been happening. I must tell you that this is a pre-recorded program, so we are not live, but we are very close to being live. This is the Wednesday before the Thursday. This is February the 5th, 2020. We still don't have all of the results as far as impeachment is concerned, but unless anything shockingly surprising happens between now and tomorrow, by the time you hear this program, President Donald J. Trump of these United States will have been acquitted in the Senate. And there will be a lot of bluster. There will be a lot of hee-hawing. There will be a lot of, well, you know, politicking, because that's what people do, especially people that make their salaries from dissecting what politicians do and what politicians say. I don't make my wages off of what politicians do or say, so I can tell you the truth. It's been a sham. It is a sham. Thankfully, it's going to be over. But don't expect the Congress of these United States to get back to the business of the people, nor the Senate of these United States to get back to the business of the people, for that matter, because doing anything for the people will be misconstrued as this president having a win. And they can't have that. And so even though he has to fight the bulk of government, he's had some successes. You can't deny it. Last night was the State of the Union address. I did listen to it this morning because, last night it was past my bedtime. I know you can laugh, you can chortle, you can even giggle if you'd like, but I've got little ones, and the little ones go to bed early. And if the little ones go to bed early, well, so does Dad. And that was that. I did listen to it this morning. And the things that I heard that aren't being talked about is something that will go against the narrative of, oh, he's such an evil man. Because if he really were that evil, if he really were doing the devil's bidding, if you will, he's very bad at it. Because last night he was talking about a return to prayer in schools, which I hazard to guess, if I were put on the spot, that the devil really isn't a fan of. Because the younger you could propagandize, the more certain you are that they'll be your lifelong acolyte. This is why they're trying to push sex education in second and third grade. And I'm not talking about, you know, the heterosexual sex education. This is mommy, this is daddy, this is how they make a baby. I'm talking about sodomy and most of other very grotesque things that they want to teach children at a very young age about and normalize in their psyche. And so you have the big orange man come along and say, I think we should bring prayer back in schools. Prayer is a good thing in schools. And I'm sitting there going, man, if you're doing the devil's bidding, you're really bad at it. Another thing that, you know, want to reconsider their stance on whether he is an agent of Satan, is his stance on pro-life and the fact that he called upon Congress to outlaw late-term abortions. No other president has done this, and I do believe that it's a good first step. Look, we have to be rational. We have to be logical. We have to be reasonable. comparatively speaking, between the other side, who would grab a bag of popcorn and watch a baby getting murdered while it's crowning, and this side, which is actively trying to outlaw late-term abortion, you know. I'm not going to say who's who, but one of them is and one of them isn't doing the enemy's bidding. I'll let you decide. See, I believe I have an intelligent audience. I believe I have a very astute audience. But then again, I also have a small audience. So, you know, the point that I'm trying to make is when you do away with all the hyperbole, when you do away with all the exaggeration, when you do away with all the things you hear other people saying, when you do away with all the third-hand information, and look at what is being done and what this administration is fighting for and what this administration is accomplishing, it's hard to come to the conclusion that this is the devil's handmaiden. That's all I'm going to say about this, because I know a lot of you are very anti-politic talk, but guess what? You live in this country. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to live in the best possible country that I can. Now, in order for that to occur, the children of God need to get off the sidelines. They need to get off their rumps, as little Southern ladies are wont of saying, and get in the fight. Because if we don't get in the fight, we will lose. And we will lose in the most shameful way possible. Showed up on the battlefield to begin with. You know, when there's a game that's scheduled and the other team just doesn't show up, and so that team just wins by default? That's what we're doing. Look, I can't guarantee that goodness will win out in the end. But I can guarantee you that if we don't put up a fight, we will lose. So I can't guarantee that if you get in the fight, you're going to be victorious. No man can guarantee this. But man, the alternative is a certainty. Now, there's a lot that we need to get to today, because I'm not going to say concerned, but something still doesn't feel right about this whole coronavirus thing. The latest news that's leaking out of China is that they're cremating about 100 bodies a day. That's a lot more than they've been letting on. Look, the problem with a closed society is that the individual in charge of the spigot decides what comes out, when it comes out, and how much of it comes out. And I've had people forward me video clips and news articles that were smuggled out of China, and the people were basically arrested and hauled to interrogation for posting, you know, just individuals falling on the street and a team of individuals just coming and putting them in a body bag, things like that. There has been something of a hubbub regarding Tencent, which seems to have accidentally leaked the real data on the Wuhan virus deaths. This came out of Wuhan. This was a story that just broke recently, and it's from the Taiwan News. And for the briefest of seconds before it was pulled off the air, there was a chart that was flashed on the screen that listed the deaths at 24,589, which is a lot more than they're letting on. Again, if this was just a flu, if this was nothing more than a hachu, a fever, and the death rate was similar to that of the flu, I don't think they would have gone out of their way to the point that they built an entire hospital in 10 days. From start to finish, it took 10 days to build an hospital with a crematorium in the back. And there's people reporting that, that they're just taking body bags and burning the bodies. Again, as a Frenchman would say, pourquoi, monsieur, pourquoi? Why? Why are they burning the bodies automatically? Why is there such shortage of real news coming out of the Wuhan province? And it, how do I put this gently? There have been so many instances where you were told you should be afraid, you should be concerned, that people have sort of grown numb to it. When somebody tells you something over and over and over again and it doesn't come to pass, eventually it becomes background noise. You grow numb. You don't believe it anymore. Well, if I were the fear-mongering sort, I would tell you that we're on the precipice of perhaps being concerned here. Because what they're not telling us is far more revealing than what they are telling us. Now, there's two stories that I do want to get into because it's important, because we need to understand what we're dealing with so that we can be wise Christians. We talked about this last week. Wisdom dictates that you take precautions to protect yourself, to protect your family. You don't go waiting at Chicago International Airport and start tongue-kissing every old Chinese person coming off a plane. You're smart about it. Prevention is a good thing. Prevention is an honorable thing. Anyway, one of the stories that really caught my eye, and this was also released just a couple hours ago from when I am recording, but yesterday from when you're hearing this, is that Chinese baby, or a Chinese baby, tests positive for coronavirus 30 hours after birth. That is troubling. To use another adjective, that is adjacent to frightening. The story goes on to say this: a Chinese baby has been diagnosed with coronavirus just 30 hours after a woman who had tested positive for the deadly disease gave birth in the epicenter city of Wuhan. According to state media, doctors at the Wuhan Children's Hospital on Wednesday cited the case as evidence that pregnant women infected with the virus may be able to pass it on to their unborn children, according to state broadcaster CCTV. The infant who was born Sunday is the youngest person recorded as being infected with the virus, which has killed almost 500 people and sickened 24,000, according to Agence France-Presse. Now, as we were discussing, the number of those killed is contradicted by Taiwan News in Taipei and Tencent, who put up a much larger figure than 500. If the thing that was quickly taken down from the television screen is true, the death count is more like 24,500. And that is a significant number when taken into account that they say only 154,000 infections have been confirmed. Because, man, if this thing kills 25,000 out of every 150,000, sell your house and rent. Property's going to be very cheap very soon. Because by the looks of it, you know, 18, 17% of the world's population going into the dirt would put a crimp in the economy, to say the least. But let's continue reading this with the infant baby that was born Sunday. So apparently mothers can transmit it to their unborn children, which is sad. But it also goes to show you just how strong this virus is. And as of now, they haven't mentioned whether or not it's stopped mutating. So this thing may still be mutating. On Monday, the official Xinhua news agency reported that a baby born last week to an infected mother had tested negative. So one tested positive, the other tested negative. What led to that? I'm assuming they will investigate and figure out at some point. Experts quoted by CCTV said that infected baby may be a case of vertical transmission, referring to infections passed from mother to child during pregnancy, childbirth, or right after. The newborn, whose vital signs were stable, has no fever or cough, but was experiencing shortness of breath, the doctor said. Chest x-rays showed signs of infection along with some abnormalities in liver functions. This reminds us to pay attention to mother to child being a possible route of coronavirus transmission, said Dr. Zhang Ling Kong, head of the hospital's neonatal medicine department, according to Reuters. So that's where we are. We have the first documented case of a baby basically being born or getting the coronavirus within 30 hours of birth, and also the possibility that Taiwanese news may have reported the real numbers of deaths linked to coronavirus, which is not paltry to say the least. We're going to read that article, get into it, then just, you know, to put life into perspective. And not just life, but our existence on this spinning rock and how safe we feel. A senior U.S. Navy officer says that his service no longer considers the East Coast of these United States as an uncontested area or an atomic safe haven for its ships and submarines. We're going to get into that a little later because it's eye-opening. And just when you thought Russia wasn't an issue anymore, one of these news articles pops up and you go, oh, okay. They still remain a clear and present threat. And apparently the East Coast, as per a U.S. Navy officer's claim, not so safe because of Russian submarines that have nuclear weapon capability. Not something to overlook or poo-poo, because the Russians will not play dead forever. Let's put it that way. They are quietly building up momentum. They are quietly building up influence. They're quietly building up weapons caches. They're quietly sending out feelers to see who would align with them. But the Russians never stopped wanting to be the superpower in the world. They never stopped wanting to be the one and only. They're not into sharing power, nor do they want to be one of many. They want to be the one. And so as long as there is another nation that they deem superior, it will be a target. And just mind my words, they're not asleep. They're not on vacation. They're not taking a break and watching the circus in the Senate. They're not sending out memes about how foolish the Democrats look with the Iowa caucuses. They're very deliberate in what they're doing. And they know exactly what their goal is. But again, we'll get into that in a little while. Because yes, we also have the caucuses to speak of. Remember back a ways, I'm going to get Gino to timestamp things I predict. Because I always preface, when it's prophetic, I tell you it's prophetic. When it's just my spidey senses going off, when it's just the feeling I have, I tell you that too. Well, back a few months ago when Pete Buttigieg wasn't anybody special, when he was still one of, what, 176 people running for the Democratic ticket, I told you that the most dangerous individual on that dais for Christians was Mayor Pete Buttigieg. I know. He looks like Alfred E. Newman. Donald Trump hit the nail on the head. But of all the people that were on that dais, 180 and counting, I told you at the time, maybe 3 months ago, Pete Buttigieg is the most dangerous one for believers. And if you let that little weasel anywhere near power, you will rue the day, because he has such a deep-seated hatred for Christians and Christianity that he could barely contain it. Well, apparently, from the partial results of the Iowa caucus, Pete Buttigieg's ahead. Now, I don't know if it's still unlikely that he's going to be the nominee. But if he continues this going into New Hampshire and maybe Nevada, he may be somebody's VP pick. Now, the one individual that is not as dangerous for believers, but as dangerous for the nation as a whole, that seems to be having a very good week, is none other than our favorite insane uncle, Bernard Sanders. Bernard Sanders seems to have won the cocci of Iowa. And they're trying to do everything to mitigate his win. They're trying to do everything they can to get Bernie off of the stage, because they realize, they know that he does not have national appeal. See, it's one thing to have a handful of lunatics wanting socialism, thinking themselves a pudgy version of Che Guevara. But it's another when you have to appeal to some, 150-odd million voters who like the fact that they live in a free country, so, yeah, sort of. Who like the fact that, you know, they can still drive their own cars and eat a burger once in a while and not have to answer to crazy Bernie as to what they did with 70 to 80% of their income. Because, you know, paying your fair share is a privilege. So the Democrat Party realizes that Bernie doesn't have a snowball's chance. They know that he is not going to win a national election. But they also know that they cannot win with anyone else if all the Bernie bros stay home, or worse yet, vote for the other side, which they've threatened to do. Now, we've discussed the level of lunacy that Bernie supporters suffer from. They've been taped. They've been videotaped. There has been audio footage of them and their insanity spewed out as though it was something normal to speak of gulags and the fact that they were so great. And that we should bring gulags back. We gave it a bad name. It's like polyester back in the 90s. Remember when polyester was a dirty word? Because now, looking back in hindsight, I was ahead of my time, kids. My grandma used to sew me polyester slacks. Now, every single polo shirt that you go and buy in the store that's supposed to have Airwick technology, that's supposed to be the highest end of the high-end spectrum of advancement, is made of what? You guessed it, polyester. So these people are equating how polyester got a bad rap with how gulags got a bad rap. Well, you'll come back around to see the truth of it. But yeah, which reminds me, my grandma was ahead of her time too. Polyester slacks. You know what? Wave of the future. Now, there is a chance that in direct sunlight they may spontaneously combust, but you know what? Nothing's perfect. Sort of like the gulag. Anyway, that aside, let's get back to the wonderful world of death tolls. You're doomed if you do and doomed if you don't. Because if I talk about the State of the Union and all the things that took place and the facial expressions and the reactions and the content, the meat of it, the vision that the President of the United States laid out, then I'm going to be accused of, hey, stop talking about politics and politics and politics. Because we're not of this earth. Now, if I talk about, you know, a potential 25,000 people already being dead in China and them burning their bodies like they were trying to remake Auschwitz, I get the other side that goes, but you did not mention at all. You did not mention at all the beauty of the State of the Union. So again, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm just going to do what I do. Take from it what you will. Because, you know, I have to be faithful to what I know I need to get out. I have to be faithful to what I know I need to discuss, because you will see the importance of some of the things we discussed today, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, because that's the way it works. I should just keep my mouth shut for a month and then start talking real fast, and then maybe I'll seem prophetic too, like Jim Baker. Sorry. I know I pick on Jim Baker a lot, but man, why potatoes au gratin? You could have sold some, I don't know, pork chops, beef jerky, buckets of potatoes au gratin. That's where he lost me. Those of you that know my humor are chuckling along. Those of you that don't are grabbing your pearls and looking for your fainting couch. Welcome to the program. So, on late Saturday evening, February the 1st, Tencent, on its webpage titled Epidemic Situation Tracker, there's a catchy name, showed confirmed cases of novel coronavirus in China as standing at 154,023. That is 10 times the official figure at the time. Let that sink in. Again, I do believe that the Chinese are suppressing information. And if they're suppressing information regarding how many cases and how many deaths, then this thing is a lot worse than anybody's letting on. And this is why you have nations mobilizing and people sort of freaking out and, you know, and there are some collateral victims, because there always are. There was a lady with a face mask on, beaten in New York. You know, that's not, it's Philadelphia that's the city of brotherly love, isn't it? I thought it was New York. But yeah, a woman was beaten on the street for wearing a face mask, and she was called all kinds of names. When people are afraid, they do very irrational things. You cannot adequately plot someone's reaction when they're in the moment of panic, because that's when instinct kicks in and it's either fight or flight. You can't predict it. So they're trying to do everything they can to keep from mass hysteria, but all evidence is pointing to the fact that they're not going to be able to keep a lid on this for very much longer. So, as I said, the news tracker listed the number of suspected cases at 79,808, four times the official figure. Now, the number of cured cases was only 269, well below the official number that day of 300. So, cured cases is 269 compared to numbers that they're batting around like 154,000 or 79,000 or 24,589 deaths. Now, this is what the article says. Most ominously, the death toll listed was 24,589, vastly higher than the 300 officially listed that day. Moments later, Tencent updated the numbers to reflect the government's official numbers that day. Netizens noticed that Tencent had on at least three occasions posted extremely high numbers, only to quickly lower them to government-approved statistics. Netizens also noticed that each time the screen with the large numbers appears, it shows a comparison with the previous day's data, which demonstrates a reasonable incremental increase, much like comparisons of official numbers. This has led some netizens to speculate that Tencent has two sets of data, the real data and the processed data. So basically, there's the real books and the cookbooks. There's the truth, and then there's the truth they want you to know. And if the truth is, as these numbers say, it is starkly different from the numbers they want you to have. It's not even in the same ballpark. It's not even in the same zip code. They're just so far apart. Now, some are speculating that a coding problem could be causing the real internal data to accidentally appear. Others believe that someone behind the scenes is trying to leak the real numbers. Well, if the real numbers are 24,000 and change dead, from a pool of infected people of 154,000, I understand why the Chinese would try to keep this as hush-hush as possible. Again, you can only keep it hush-hush for a little while. You cannot sit on this kind of death toll forever. And the reason that I tend to lean towards believing that this is a lot worse than they're letting on is because there's continued leaked footage by doctors and nurses and reporters from hospitals, from the street, where just body bags upon body bags are being collected, where a hospital was built in 10 days with a very big crematorium in the back, where people aren't allowed to bury their dead. Once they die, they get cremated. So it's taking all of the data into account and then coming to a conclusion based on the aggregate data. Distinct, as a Californian would say, distinct very badly, senor. You can't. There's no way you can fudge these kind of numbers. I pray the secondary numbers are the true ones. God forbid a global epidemic like this that wipes out 25,000 out of 154,000 people. But if we go back to the good book, and we read the words of Jesus regarding these last days, we were warned that there would be pestilences. This could be defined as a pestilence. It was one of the telltale signs, among many other things, that would herald the coming of the last days and that would herald the coming of Christ. So I'm not too quick to dismiss this as just another SARS. I'm not too quick to dismiss this as just another scare tactic, because at some point, we're going to know if these numbers are true or not. The article continues and it says this. However, the internal data held by Beijing may not reflect the true extent of the epidemic. According to multiple sources in Wuhan, remember back a few weeks ago, I said something is very off. You can't just cordon off an entire province of, what, 12 million people, yet they have. According to multiple sources in Wuhan, many coronavirus patients are unable to receive treatment and die outside of hospitals. A severe shortage of test kits also leads to a lower number of diagnosed cases of infection and death. So basically, they're not reported as having the coronavirus because they don't have the test kits to confirm that it's the coronavirus. That's one way of keeping the numbers small, isn't it? In addition, there have been many reports of doctors being ordered to list other forms of death instead of coronavirus to keep the death toll artificially low. I will let that sink in. Let it marinate for just a smidge. Now we take that particular story, and it has been confirmed that the coronavirus has made its way to the U.S. There have been multiple cases, one person-to-person transmission, even here in Illinois or next door. But just, in case you were thinking that this was the only thing to be concerned about, we go back to an article that I found today, which says that a senior U.S. Navy officer says that his service no longer considers the East Coast of the United States as an uncontested area or an automatic safe haven. This is a product of steadily increased Russian submarine activity in the Atlantic Ocean, including the deployment of more advanced and quieter types that can better evade detection. U.S. Navy Vice Admiral Andrew Woody Lewis made these comments at a gathering the U.S. Naval Institute and the Center for Strategic and International Studies, think tank, jointly hosted on February the 4th, 2020. Lewis is the commander of the Navy's Second Fleet, which the service reactivated in 2018 specifically to address the surge in Russia's submarine operations in the Atlantic. This fleet, headquartered at Naval Support Activity Hampton Roads in Virginia, reached full operation capability in just December of 2019. So I'm going to pause here. And I'm going to say this just because I have to. Logic, reason, decency compels me to say the following. Do you really think that Putin or Russia are enamored with Donald Trump and want to see him reelected, when it's the selfsame Donald Trump that re-energized the American military? Believe me when I tell you this is not something that they wanted to see. A re-energized American military is not something the Russians desired. It is not a result that they wanted to come to fruition or materialize. So the next time you hear somebody, oh, the Russians love him. No, they don't. because right now, militarily, we're in a far better position than we've been in the last, what, dozen years at least. And the Russians don't like that one little bit. Because the stronger your enemy, the harder your enemy is to defeat. Very simple logic. Our new reality is that when our sailors toss the lines over and set sail, they can expect to be operating in a contested space once they leave Norfolk. Now, you know where Norfolk is. It's in Virginia. So what he's saying is once you toss the lines over and you set sail, that's it. You're in contested territory. A little too close for comfort, perhaps. Our ships can no longer expect to operate in a safe haven on the East Coast or merely cross the Atlantic unhindered to operate in another location. We have seen an ever-increasing number of Russian submarines deployed in the Atlantic, and these submarines are more capable than ever, deploying for longer periods of time with more lethal weapons systems. Our sailors have the mindset that they're no longer uncontested and to expect to operate alongside our competitors each and every underway. Lewis did not offer any specific details on the total number of Russian submarines the U.S. military believes are on patrol in the Atlantic at any given time compared to previous years. There has been significant debate about the exact scale of Russia's undersea activities, especially compared to peaks in the Soviet Navy's operations at the height of the Cold War, and whether the Kremlin has only been able to generate the additional deployments by pulling resources from the Pacific region. And that's the latest as far as Russia is concerned. They're really hoping that the Russians had to pull from the Pacific, given the number of submarines they're seeing in the Atlantic. My personal feeling is that no, they haven't. And that should be a reason for concern. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, well, coronavirus is making its way to the States. The East Coast is no longer safe. Maybe I should just go on a cruise to unplug from all of this. Yes, a cruise would be amazing. What could go wrong on a floating boat with about 4,000 people on it? Well, sorry to spoil it for you. Because, again, apparently I'm not apocalyptic enough. Apparently I don't depress people enough. So today I'm going to hit you both barrels. Because if you want apocalyptic spin, there's always apocalyptic spin. If you want to be brought to the brink, if you want to be afraid to get out of your house, that's an easy do. But I don't want to do that. Because we have Christ, and in Him we must have peace. In Him we must have joy. In Him we must have security. But just for those of you that, again, you have betrayed your mantle. You are not apocalyptic enough. Here you go. Trapped on virus-ravaged cruise ship, shocked passengers struggle to keep spirits up. So you can't go in the water, you can't go on the land, you can't go where people congregate. And you know what? Your bomb shelter is going to get flooded if it rains too much. What you going to do? Yokohama, Japan. Quarantined for 2 weeks on a cruise ship ravaged by coronavirus. So that's basically a floating petri dish now. The Britons on board have only one option. Keep calm and carry on. So it's a bunch of English people. 2,666 passengers and 1,045 crew. That's how many people are on this floating Petri dish. And apparently all they can do is wait it out. David Abel and his wife Sally are still smiling for now. Their friend Alan and Wendy Steele are going stir crazy trapped in their cabin, although they say they're not worried about catching the deadly illness. Why would you be? You are, after all, on a floating Petri dish where a bunch of other people on that same Petri dish have already gotten sick. I wouldn't be worried either. Alan and Wendy, my type of people. Still, this was not how the Steels planned to spend their honeymoon. Many of the 2,666 passengers and 1,045 crew members on the Diamond Princess. So if you're looking to go on a cruise, I would hazard to guess that the Diamond Princess cruise lines will become very affordable very soon. In fact, they may offer you money just to get on the boat. They are struggling to keep their spirits up after the luxury liner was quarantined off the Japanese coast Wednesday, with passengers forbidden to leave their cabins. Last Saturday, a man from Hong Kong who had spent 5 days aboard the ship was confirmed as having contracted coronavirus. On Wednesday, with the ship docked at the port of Yokohama, Japan's health minister said 9 other passengers and 1 Filipino crew member had tested positive. "We've got 2 weeks extra cruise, albeit a confined cruise," David Abel, 74, said on a Skype call from his cabin. "You've got to make the best of the situation, haven't you? But I'm sure that in 10 or 12 days' time, I'll be pulling my hair out." Well, David, if the first set of numbers coming out of Wuhan are real, now, if it's the second set of numbers, you got nothing to worry about, you know, percentage-wise. So, yes, cruises are off limits still. So where can you go? Off the top of my head, good time to go to your prayer closet, kids. Good time to reacquaint yourselves with Jesus if you've missed a few prayer sessions here and there. Good time to reacquaint yourself with his voice in case you've been hearing other voices and weren't really certain whether it was his voice or the voice of another. It's a good time to get our houses in order. Because if you want to look at the world through the prism of, oh my, this is dangerous, everything is dangerous. On every front, there is something that will terrify you. And I am not ignorant of the scripture that says men's heart will fail them for fear of what is to come. So I know that worse is around the bend. Yet I do not fear. Yet I am not overly concerned. I share these things with you so that you are knowledgeable about them, so that you are not part of those who cling to ignorance as though it were a virtue, because ignorance at this juncture is a dangerous thing. See, when you're ignorant of the things going on around you, you make decisions with a limited amount of information at your disposal. Be wise. Have all the information that you need before you make the decision that you make. And now, coming towards the end of the program, as far as today is concerned, there is breaking news. Pierre Delecto did not disappoint. And if you don't know who Pierre is, well, it is Mitt Romney. He does move against the president and he votes guilty. But most everyone halfway expected it. If you want to talk about how necessary discernment is, well, Utah, there you go. Now, again, the acquittal is still on track. There are likely going to be a couple of Democrats that are going to peel off and vote not guilty. But Mitt Romney has shown his true colors, and he has voted guilty, even though there was no evidence of guilt, even though all the hubbub and the things surrounding the hubbub, the transcript was released. The phone call was there for everyone. This is just pettiness. This is about as petty as Nancy Pelosi ripping up the president's speech when he was done. So congratulations, Mitt. You are now as beloved in these United States as Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. I don't know if that's a high honor, but boy, have you earned it. This is what's happening. It's distracting from the people's business. It's distracting from running the country. But I think it was a Hail Mary that they felt they needed to do because they see no path to victory come 2020. And that leads us to the last topic of the day, which, of course, is everyone's favorite mayor, none other than Pete Buttigieg, who insists that if he wins the presidency, we are to call his sodomite partner the first gentleman. Somehow, apparently, Pete Buttigieg weaseled more caucus representatives than anybody else, but Bernie Sanders weaseled more votes than anybody else. So you have the two front runners that are unelectable, save for three or four states. I'm sure California is going to go with whoever they put up. That's a foregone conclusion. I don't think any Republican will ever again win California because, well, that's just face facts. But other than California, perhaps New York, I don't see it. And I think the powers that be in the DNC don't see it either. And this is why they're trying to torpedo Bernie every chance they get. And man, you got to give it to him. He hangs on, doesn't he? I want to make you a communist, whether you want it or not. Give me your stuff. I'll redistribute it. Now, granted, one would look at what just happened at the Iowa caucus within the Democrat caucus and wonder to themselves, reasonably so, if you people can't tally the vote of 170,000 odd individuals, why should anyone trust you or entrust you with running an entire nation, pray tell? It's a good question to ask. Because, boy oh boy, are they looking ever more foolish with each passing day. But to conclude, to wrap it all up in a fine bow, as the kids like to say, if you want to scare yourself, there's plenty of ways to do it. You can go on any news site on any given day and find something that, seen in the right kind of light, would make your heart skip a beat. But we're not supposed to give in to fear. We are supposed to be of sound mind. We are supposed to be the sons and daughters of God, who is able to keep us, coronavirus or not, Russian submarines or not, judgment or not. God forewarns so that you might not be ignorant. He doesn't forewarn you of something that is to occur so that from this day forward, you live your life in sheer panic and terror. That's not God. God's desire is not to rob you of your peace. God's desire is to give you peace. So if you don't have peace, go to God and ask for it. If those you are lending your ear to are robbing you of your peace, turn them off, because they may be well-intentioned. However, the result of their constant drum beating is something that should be unacceptable to you. As always, I thank you all for listening. Thank you for being with us. Lord willing, we will be with you again next week. I don't know whether or not it's going to be live. My schedule is fluid. I have kids that have school on odd days. I don't know what's happening, but they just tell me no school today. So if we can be live, we'll be live. If not, I'm sure we'll have plenty of things to discuss. But until then, may God bless you. May God keep you. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Yeah, I'd like to close with Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto you. And that's pretty much what Mike is saying. Trouble is coming, and with what Russia's arming, I hope people are aware of the fact that, you know, Russia is arming. Russia is considering America an enemy. And it's all fulfilling the prophecy God gave Dmytro. They're building more nuclear weapons, short range, long range, hypersonic. They're patrolling our oceans. They say they have a nuclear weapon that they can launch at the coasts underwater. And the other thing you got to think about is there's probably things they have that we don't know that they have. And so as God spoke through Dmytro's mouth, one day America will have a civil war and there will be a nuclear attack. But until that time, we preach Christ and we talk about how the church can get equipped and strengthened, uplifted, and boldly walk out their faith and boldly stand for truth and boldly be a what? Light in the darkness. And that's what Mike is saying about standing our ground as Christians and not being silent when the culture is trying to shove down our throat evil values and pro-abortion and infanticide and euthanasia and legal marijuana and drug and all these wicked things and gay marriage. The church should be pushing back strongly against these very wicked, anti-biblical and anti-God cultural platforms and cultural sin that's becoming, people are saying it's okay, and it's a, you know, look at in gender, the whole gender issue in public schools and the bathroom issue and all these crazy things. So I'm with Mike, you know, push back against the darkness, stand our ground, stand for the faith, be strong in the Lord and what? In the power of his might. And when persecution comes to our country, we won't fall over and we won't fail. We won't deny God. We won't give in to being threatened, but we'll stand for God and say, well, we trust in our Lord no matter what. So thank you for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all